Okay, good evening, YouTube. Welcome back to this next set. Do you know what? How many times have I ever got that wrong? I think barely ever.
You say the same thing every time and you always get it right. That's the point where I could predict what you were going to say.
I never get that wrong. What's wrong with me tonight?
Good evening, YouTube. Welcome to this episode of FPL Family. This is Lee and I'm Sam. There we go.
That
was weird.
You don't need me here. I'll tell you, I don't know what happened there.
I think
about 8 or 9 seasons? That's the first time I've ever stumbled over that nonsense. Yeah. How many times have I said that? Good evening, YouTube. Welcome.
Good evening, YouTube. I'll do that elongated good evening, YouTube,
something like that. Good evening, YouTube. Welcome back to this next FPL Family. I've got this next episode. I'm shook. It's in my head.
Just go into it. Just start saying hello to people. Just pretend it's not happened. Dude,
just pretend it's not happened. Welcome along to the FPL Family live stream. I'm Lee. This is Sam. Sam, we've said week after week this season, it's a difficult season. Listen, I don't want to start on a negative because that's another very difficult week in FPL. Difficult one. Yes?
Did you think, the minute that I got back to you yesterday and I said, Lee,
yes,
Sunderland have scored, did you not think in that in that sentence, in those two words or three words, Sunderland have scored, in that moment, did you not think, difficult game week this is going
to
be?
Do you know what? When you said that to me, that was the first goal, wasn't it, for them to go 1-0
up?
One of the things I think we said and we agreed on was, this already feels like a low-scoring game week because there's loads of double Arsenal and there's loads of, there's some triple Arsenal. I even considered it myself this week because, we'll talk about our teams later on. We'll talk about overranks, all that sort of stuff, but going back to our plans for game week 11, I sold Gyökeres this week. Many FPL managers did because of the injury. And I think even when he comes back from the international break, when we're hoping, fingers crossed, the Arsenal fans will be hoping he's all right.
I'm not. It's the derby. I'd rather be out.
Well, yeah, true. But then you've got Havertz maybe coming back, etc., etc. So I sold him and used the money to upgrade in midfield to Saka. So I was happy with that, right? We'll talk about teams later. I was happy with that. But one of the things I was considering was, do I just go treble Arsenal at the back? Do just go for it? And I just didn't feel comfortable having treble Arsenal. You just never know. One little... not that they make a lot of mistakes, right? But just one goal, one of anything. And in particular, Sunderland away. I mean, listen, they're proving to be no joke, Sunderland, this season.
No.
Why are they up to third now or something stupid? Third or fourth. Absolutely unreal. What a result for them.
You know, the other thing that slightly put me off is that after the international break, obviously the hardest game of the season for them when we come visit, and then after that it's Chelsea, and those two sides do score goals, so despite you know, malaise and conceding and everything else, there is potential there. I must admit, though, because we'd split up at this point. I mean, not actually, but just for 5 minutes. I take a Mac somewhere, you take an Evie somewhere.
We were out in London, weren't we? We'd been to watch...
It made it sound like we were getting divorced for a second then. No, I didn't mean it like that. No.
It's all going wrong tonight, isn't it?
Like,
introduction screwed.
The introduction's gone off. I've just said that we're getting divorced. We'd gone into London with our friends and we were going out for dinner, and I had to stop and pick up something for our little lady's birthday. So I said to Lee, because I didn't want her to know what shop I was going in, because if she saw the shop,
she'd know. Yeah.
So I said, you take her to the restaurant, I'll take him to get the present. Fine. So we split. I walk in the restaurant and I'm like, you seen the score? You're like, what?
Yeah.
I think because it not long, I mean, I don't think it was that long into the game, was it? Certainly I'd lost all track of time. It was only that I looked at my phone to check I was going in the right direction. I was like, Sunderland are winning. And at that point, I said to you, like, Max has gone into meltdown at that point because he's like, oh, I've got double Arsenal defence. I'm like, Max, dude, it's okay. Everyone has. It's okay. Don't worry. And I said to you then, I felt like that was quite a big part of this game week, but it just continues to go from bad to worse because I was already, I mean, we'll talk about teams later, but I was already using my subs going into that. Then we lose out on other players. Then today I was raging with Pep because he benches, I mean, I sold Winders this week, but I mean, doesn't bring him on this week, does he? Brought him on for a cameo last week. Yeah. He left him on the bench. There were so many things this week that just went wrong. Penalties being saved galore.
I think it's the same for a lot of people, though.
Goalkeepers being subbed off before potentially saving a penalty.
I've seen a couple of teams online that have got, you know, Thiago and Keane and a few others, right? But I think if you've done well this week, it's just big green arrows, right? Because I've not had a very good week. Saka aside, and I've got like a small red, as you can see.
They're
I'm down to 1.78 million.
So little reds, yeah.
And I was 1.6 going into the game week, so 100k down. It's like in a week where I've had the Arsenal clean sheets wipe out. Oh no, okay, I've only got double, but that's got wiped out.
Yeah.
My captain's missed a penalty. Okay, I know everyone's captained him. I understand that. In a week where Gaye just didn't turn up. So
What was that?
That's, to be honest, that is the, for me, that's the tipping point between the red and the green, is that Gaye didn't turn up. There was absolutely nothing in the press, unless I missed something. Guys, tell me if we missed it, we missed it. But I didn't see anything leading up to the game about he might not play.
Can we just talk about him specifically for a minute?
Then.
Because on Friday evening, I was going to make no changes. I decided that I was so confused. I did not know what I was doing. So in the end, I thought, right, I'm just going to do nothing because I don't know what to do.
Fair.
And then you...
Which is a fair strategy in FPL. As a man of weeks where I've just gone, I'm not feeling something. So
and I had, and I just thought, I don't know what I'm going to do. This feels like a difficult week. I've only got two transfers. I quite value having three coming out of the international break. So I decided to do nothing. However, you then said, you were busy on your phone. So what are you doing? And you were like, oh, I'm trying to decide who to get in for Gyökeres because Gyökeres is going to go down in price tonight. And I thought, God, you know what? I have not looked at the price changes all week. I wonder who's going up and who's going down.
Yeah.
So I check Gaye rising in price. And I'm like, oh, God.
And you've been talking for a couple of weeks now about reducing the path to pain in FPL. And the Palace clean sheet was causing me a bit of pain.
And I wanted a Palace defender, but I didn't really fancy it. I egg on my face for saying this now, but I didn't really fancy it this week because it was the Brighton derby.
Yeah.
Still always feels weird calling that game a derby, but nonetheless, it's a derby. So I kind of fancied Brighton to score, and I thought, do you know what? Gaye, he's the one. Of all of the Palace defenders, he's the one I do really want. So I'm just going to do it. I'm just going to make the transfer. But in order to make the transfer from Goodmanson to Gaye, I had to make another transfer. So I had to use both my free transfers.
Okay.
Which was fine. I just did Reinders down to... Josh King.
Oh, you got rid of Reinders. Okay,
fine.
Fair dues.
So I was fine with that. Actually, what I wanted to do was go Nick Pope down to Sanchez, but I was a bit like, ugh. Anyway, I should have done that, but I felt Reinders was a bigger issue. So today, we were standing outside watching Max and his boys play when the team sheet arrived, and I'm like,
no Gaye.
Where the hell is Gaye?
Yeah.
So I've gone, okay, I feel less stressed. I woke up this morning and I thought, right, I feel less stressed about Crystal Palace. And then I spent the whole game today being stressed again because Gaye, he
wasn't
there.
It's just one of those things, isn't it? But the challenge for us Gaye owners, of which you are now one, and I've been for a few weeks, is that, you know, should the Palace clean sheet land, which it did, you're minus six against the field, aren't you, really?
Yes, yeah.
And I'm not saying everyone's got Palace defence because they haven't, but many, many do.
Yep.
Because there's so many options there with Lacroix and Richards, and there's a lot of Munozes around, right? So for them to come out of that with the clean sheet, it's like, huh, all right, well, we're immediately minus six against the market.
Yep.
Do you know what I mean?
We're straight away.
So
down.
The fact that I'm on a red with 1.7, down like 100k, I think... Had the Gaye clean... Okay, I have 1 point off the bench with Guillou, right? But, okay, so say I'm plus five more. Let's assume that Gaye just got six. He didn't get any defcons and no bonuses, which in a nil-nil, that's
probably,
unlikely.
He probably
suggest,
does,
right?
Yeah.
I'd say it's unlikely, but let's be pessimistic
think,
and say
like, Richard's got eight,
plus
didn't
five.
He?
Then, yeah, I'm from 1.6. I'm going up somewhere to, I don't know, 1.4 or
it's
something.
It's probably 1. A little
so
green, yeah.
So it's a small green rather than a small red. But listen, it's not great, but it is what it is. It is what it is, as they say, right?
It's just one of those frustrations, isn't it? Because like you say, I know that that's painful. And I think you got a feeling today of how painful that is, because obviously you've been on Crystal Palace defence for a while. So whenever the clean sheet has landed or the dev cons have landed or an attacking return has landed, you've felt the benefit and you've not really had to deal with the negative of not having that. Whereas today, I think it was a real... It was a bit of a kick in the teeth, but alas, it is what it is.
I'll tell you what, those transfers as well, because I've done, again, well, maybe, should we do it when we get to teams?
Yeah, okay.
We'll do it when we get to teams. But
we haven't even said hello to people yet.
I haven't even said hello, but it's a case of what could have been, because, and George won't like this, but I was very close to Thiago this week.
I did suggest to you that you got Thiago.
I did, and I think I said that's a really good idea. And in the end, I looked at Brentford's fixtures. I was like, oh, OK, well, I don't mind this week. But after that, it's a bit tricky, isn't it? But it'd have been such a good differential. Such a good differential. But no, not to be. Not to be. Let's say hello to a few people, Sam. We've got FPL Cowboy is in. Very nice to see you. Chatterbox is in. Good to see you, Chatterbox. Azzy, the Smiths, 1986. Good evening. All this felt like a post-international break game week. Missed penalties and blanks galore, as he says. Yeah, it feels like a... after the IB rather than a before the IB. So
I'm sorry, guys.
Let's maybe see whether FPL gets more predictable or any easier after the international break. I'm going to go out on a limb and say, I guess not. let's see. We've got people in the chat that have bought in Thiago. Yeah, well played. Well played, guys.
George honestly. Did, yeah, I think,
well
this played. Week.
Yeah, yes. It's brilliant. It's, if you bought him in this week, great shout. I know, George, you went to the game. Would have enjoyed that one, definitely. And actually, I was chatting to George this morning, actually, through the PlayStation 5 controller, funny enough, because he and I are Fortnite buddies now.
That was bizarre when I heard him just... I was like... I recognise that voice.
Yeah. Max and I just had a quick game of Fortnite this morning. He was like, oh, is George on? I was like, he actually asked if George was on. So I was like, okay, fair dude. I think he likes, and we've had this conversation before, we won't go into it, but like, Max is like a million times better than both me and George combined, right? Me and George are... I'm sure you won't mind me saying we're average at best at Fortnite, me and George. But we had a quick game. Max carried us. I think we got like two Victor Royales, but it has nothing to do with me. I lie. George, for those of you that play Fortnite, you'll know what this means. If you don't, you won't. George did a double reboot in the first game, got me and Max back in the game, and we went on to win. So actually, I lied. George was the MVP in that first game.
Does anybody know what that means?
There will be Fortnite players that understand that.
Is it still Simpsons themed?
It is, yeah.
Is Mr. Still... Burns and... Yeah, well,
sort of. Yeah, they're in it.
It's
a
bit weird, this.
Yeah, no, it's all right.
But anyway, I walk across and I'm like... That is George. Why is George's voice in my house? And there he was, just playing Fortnite with Max.
We had a couple of games before we went to the GTEC, and he said via the medium of the PS5 controller, he fancied them today. And I said, well, I do because you're at home. He said, well, it's as much them at Brentford at home as it is Newcastle away.
Yeah, they're poor away.
And I said to him, I think you're right. And I wrote down a stat as we were going into it. 3 points from a possible 18 for Newcastle away from home so far.
They're
this
almost
season.
As bad away as we are at home.
Well, that's a whole other conversation. We've got to talk about you at home. It's absolutely crazy. Challenger 215, very nice to see you. We've got Siddharth is here. Christopher Warburton, nice to see you, mate. Who else we got? We've got Torben Nilsson. Hey, Torben, I bought Gehi in this week and
Me
I had
too.
Burn.
Oh, no.
So he's sort of dodged a bullet there by... Oh, you had Burn. Oh, I thought he'd... Burn out for Gehi. No, he had Gehi and Burn both in his team.
Burn's
been
a hero for the Champions League fantasy players this week, and then a villain for the FPL fantasy players this week.
Torben, that's a tough one to take, that mate. That's unlucky. That is a bang unlucky. Do you know what, though? I wouldn't know if I'd fancy going into the Newcastle defence right now, because I think Pope went off injured as well, didn't he?
Yes, before we had a chance to try and save the penalty. So annoyed.
Ramsdale back in is not, I don't think, that's not good for Newcastle defence.
I genuinely thought that George was trolling everyone when he said Ramsdale's warming up ready to take the penalty. And I thought, George, stop being a wind-up merchant. And then he sent a picture of Ramsdale warming up. And I was like, oh, okay, you are actually telling the truth.
Correct. We've got Matthew Lewis is in. We've got Anycast, we've got Mpondu One, we've got a whole host of you in this. That's gonna say this morning.
Are you all right?
Am I all right?
What's happened, darling?
I don't know. All of the sort of real standard FPL family stuff that I say week in, week out, I just get it wrong tonight. What's up with me?
I don't know. He had a big old roast dinner. Maybe it's that.
That's what it is. Maybe it was my complete lack of interest in a Liverpool game. I mean, let's get to these games.
We can start there, because it was quite funny, I think, the Liverpool game. You said to me before, like, you felt like this was a make or break one, and it did feel a bit make or breaky.
Oh, yeah.
And I was expecting Liverpool to...
be better than they were?
At the start of the game, I was expecting you to go into it and be a bit bolder, be a bit more Liverpool, I guess, a bit more fight, a bit more grit. I wasn't expecting it to be quite so City dominate straight away. And I know that you had one ruled out and maybe the game changes if that one sticks and all of that narrative that I'm sure you're going to talk about. But I was genuinely using this game as an opportunity to scout.
Scout for next week.
Scout
absolutely.
Liverpool, because... And I put this on the opening graphic. You know.
Thanks for the picture of me on the graphics, by the way. I think it actually looks quite good. I think it looks great with me just going, because that's exactly the face I was pulling most of the time for 90 minutes.
And I just felt like, you know, I was using this as an opportunity to work out what I was doing, because in my head, here's a little, you know, insight into how my brain was working. I was thinking, right, game week 12 is going to be tough investment, but I've got players that I'm happy to get rid of. So I could go in at an Ekitike level or a Dom Szoboszlai / Ryan Gravenberch level in midfield quite easily, one or the other.
Mm-hmm.
That's fine. 13, I think it's game week 13, you've got a great fixture.
Well, let's have a look at the fixtures. I put together the ticker courtesy of our friends at Fantasy Football Scout. And yes, over the next six, but I think you could extend that to like the next 8 or 10 and Liverpool would still be top, if not very near the top, of the FDR, the Scout FDR. Forest at home next in 12, West Ham, Sunderland, Leeds, Brighton, then Spurs away in 17. Yeah, Liverpool first, top of the shot for the ticker, which is why you're absolutely right. A lot were looking at this game today and going, well, you know, how, it's almost like how many Liverpool and who, you know, I was absolutely expected to be sitting here tonight going, well, which Liverpool do you want for next week? And we were going to have a whole conversation about Van Dijk and Szoboszlai and Salah maybe if he scored again, because he'd got a couple of goals recently. But as the thumbnail says, I hate to say it, but I just don't think I'm going there. But it's just not going to do it.
So I was kind of thinking I'll get one over the international break and then going into game week 13, the West Ham game, or is it 15, I think you've got Leeds.
Leeds in 15, but it's Leeds away.
Yeah, but in my head, one of those two fixtures was going to be my free hit week, so that I could treble up on Liverpool.
Okay.
At a time, because I wasn't convinced that I'd want to be always trebled up on Liverpool, but I was thinking those 2 weeks feel like a good opportunity, because despite Leeds actually being all right since they've come up, they do concede goals. So I was like, well, maybe there's an opportunity there. And West Ham, I mean, they conceded a couple to Burnley, for goodness sake, so surely they'll concede to Liverpool.
Mm.
So in my head, I was like, I'll get one for next week, free hit, get three, and then I'll be back down to one, and then I'll worry about it after that. But then I watched the performance today. Now, I didn't really watch a lot of your performance in midweek, because as you know, I was watching Mickey Van Der Ven become messy. However,
what a goal that was, by the
way.
What
a goal.
Oh my God.
Oh, so good. But I did watch the highlights and I was impressed by Liverpool. But then, so it's the same team today. So when I see the team sheet, I'm like, right, okay, here we go. We're going to see the best of Verts. We're going to see, no.
But this is the problem, because this is why we desperately need Kirkus to come in and make a difference, because Robbo can't do those two games in a week anymore.
He'd look really tired.
I'm not sure Van Dijk is, he obviously can, right? But it's,
he's
but
not that old,
it's
is he,
the
Van
it's the two it's the two games themselves though, right? It's Real Madrid and it's Manchester City, right?
Mm.
If it was Real Madrid and then I don't know, it's actually really difficult for me to point out
Wolves.
Okay, Wolves then, let's say Wolves. Yeah, then it's different, isn't it? Potentially it's different. But the Premier League is relentless this year, right? The fact that Sunderland can get a result against Arsenal, score two against Arsenal this weekend.
Yeah, and weirdly, I wasn't surprised. Like, I was surprised, but not surprised, if you know what I mean, because Sunderland, that's been the season. We've had this kind of weird season.
Yeah, nothing surprises me in the PL and with FPL this season. Yeah. And that's why I'm sitting at 1.6 bloody million, and so many of the content creators that we know and love, players that are, they're brilliant. Like, they're, some of the FPL content creators are brilliant FPL players, right?
Yes.
And there's loads of people I know within the community, all brilliant FPL players, and they're all at over a million, and we're on game week 11/12 already.
Yeah.
Well, that's because it's so unpredictable.
It's hard.
And then the icing on the cake is, well, DEFCONs and double chips, rule changes, etc. But fundamentally, the league is unpredictable. Who's thinking? I mean, if you just said to me 4 or 5 weeks ago, you know, Sunderland, you know, Arsenal got Sunderland, it'll be a draw, and Sunderland's just
and Sunderland would end Arsenal's 8-game clean sheet.
I mean, what the hell? What the hell? It's so unpredictable this season. So I kind of go into that run for Liverpool and I sit here and I go, well, if you said to me you have to have a Liverpool player, right, here's a question for you then. Going into this run that we've just discussed, Liverpool, top of the fixture tickers, someone says you must have a Liverpool player on your team, who are you picking? Who would you go?
Gravenberch?
Oh, blimey, yeah. I don't know about that. My opinion, if someone said you have to have Liverpool, I'd get Virgil.
I might get Konate.
I'd get Virgil. Oh my God, please.
Lee, I just
can't. Please, he was at fault for the first goal.
But Lee, I don't want to spend 6 million on Virgil.
But even today, he scores Virgil, right? And I'm not having it that that's ruled off. It's a complete joke. That I don't even want to talk about that tonight because that's wound me so much up, that goal. It's a goal, right? I'm not saying we deserve to be in the game. I'm not saying we deserved a 1-1 at the time, right? We deservedly got beat by City, well beat by City today. I'm not standing up for Liverpool at all. But that is a goal. I'm sorry, the game is gone if that's not a goal, with Robbo ducking out the way of it. Donnarumma even shifts his weight to the wrong side because he thinks that Virgil's going to go that way. And then he doesn't, he obviously then can't get back over the other side. Doku's in his eye line. Robbo's not in his eye line. The game is gone if that's not a goal. It's absolute disgrace. But anyway, had we got 1-1 at that stage, maybe it's a different game, but we would not have deserved it, right? We would not have deserved it. They missed a penalty at that point as well. Should have been 2-0, could have been 3, right? We got well beaten, but that is a goal. But, like, shows you still that there is some threat there from Virgil from set pieces.
I just can't see. The problem I have with Liverpool is that you're expensive, right? The assets in the Liverpool team are expensive. Absolutely. So Virgil, expensive premium defender. Salah, expensive. Even when you look at, you know, the... I know Isak's not fit at the moment, but
you're
even
not getting Salah, are you?
No, but this is what
who's
I mean.
Who's getting Salah ahead of this run? But, like, everyone I speak to at work
is... AFCON.
People at work are just like, oh yeah, Liverpool's fixtures are great. I'll get Salah back. I'm like, really? No. Like, who's getting Salah? Are you getting Salah?
Well, you know. How can you get Salah? You got the double Arsenal defence that are costing you a lot of money. I mean, I look at it and I think, every week I look at the Liverpool thing, like Liverpool list, and I think, right, okay, where the hell do I look? So Szoboszlai could have had there was an opportunity for him today at a free kick, which maybe should do better with.
But he has run himself into the ground against Real Madrid. I've never seen a performance as energetic as that against Real Madrid. He was unbelievable, Szoboszlai, in a week. Yep. So to roll him out and say, can you do that again, please, 4 days later? It's just not fair on the guy.
Well, no, it isn't. But also, that is
the world we're in, isn't it?
That is
that's,
it,
that's
isn't
his
it?
Job.
You know,
yeah.
It's the same with Mickey van der Ven and his hamstrings.
You're like Roy Keane. That's his job.
I mean, he's literally getting paid 100 odd grand a week to do that, to play twice in a week. That's the point, isn't it? I get it. I understand what you're saying. But at the same time...
That's his job.
It's his job. You know, I have to go to work tomorrow. Do I want to get up at 6:30? No. Actually, I got up earlier. But the point remains that I look at the Liverpool list and they're expensive. And I don't want to risk spending that level of budget on these players. Even Gakpo now feels way too expensive for what he is.
Oh, yeah. Especially as Verts.
Because
he's
getting benched.
Yeah.
And you're not going with Verts, despite the price drops. I'm not interested in going there.
No goals, no assists and 11 starts.
Not interested. So I'm looking at these assets and I'm like, okay, the only ones that you can realistically rely upon so far have been Szoboszlai and Gravenberch. I don't really want either of them to either. You can't go for the goalkeeper because who knows when Alisson's going to come back. So all of this feels difficult. Same with Ekotike and the eventual Isak return.
Connor?
He gets one most weeks because he keeps getting booked.
Facts. Yeah, facts.
So
yeah. Starts on one, then he Connor.
It's just like...
I think that was his fourth booking so far this season today.
And go, if
I think
you,
he's only played 5 games.
Go back to those fixtures for Liverpool.
Yeah.
How many clean sheets do you reckon there are?
Forest at home.
They've started scoring goals.
I think there's a chance for a clean sheet there.
I don't. I think they score.
All right, we'll disagree on that one. West Ham away. They're improving. Difficult, isn't it?
They're improving. They probably will score.
Sunderland at home.
They'll probably play for a 0-0. So you might actually get a clean sheet in that one.
Maybe. Leeds away, Brighton at home, Spurs away.
Leeds is the only game I would think that there's a reasonable chance.
You think Leeds is hard to go to, isn't it? Yeah.
But that's the point.
Yeah, that's the point.
That is the point I'm making, is that despite the fact that you probably do win quite a lot of those matches...
Yeah.
There's not a lot of clean sheets in them.
I'll tell you what else bothers me a little bit is that I read some stats after the game. It says that Salah in that game against City today had 7 shots and he assisted 3 more, right? So he created 3 more. So there was like 10
potential involvements
there, which was 60% of Liverpool's overall XG, right?
That's interesting.
So you'd say that and you go, okay, well, Liverpool, yeah, most of it from today at least is going through Mo, so maybe there's a case there. But my point as a Liverpool fan, I'm sitting there going, well, that's nice, but haven't we just spent like $1 billion on trying to like take the pressure off of Mo
and his disappearance
and trying to be like, you know, reduce our reliance on Salah? Mm. And here we are with, you know, 60% of our XG comes through Mo.
I'd be interested to know how much of the other 40% has come through the new players, and how much of it has come through Szoboszlai and the ones that were there already.
Yeah. I don't know. Anyway, I for one will not be, despite those fixtures, I won't be going there with Liverpool. I just won't be going there until I see an upturn of form, which shows me some consistency. Because again, these are the sorts of teams, by the way, that will go long.
Yeah.
Right. And we've seen that is the blueprint for beating us.
We won't go long.
I know that City didn't go long today, but they were just better than us, right? Yeah, in fact, the Spurs game, I know it's 5 weeks down the line, anything can happen, but you like playing out from the back.
We'll play out from the back because we won't compromise for you.
That would suit us. But for now, as you guys are saying in the chat, avoiding Liverpool altogether, I'm with you. I'm with you.
Would you like to move on, dear, or should we talk about City for a second?
Yeah, go on, City. Yeah, go on.
Reinders is a sell. I think if you've still got him, just sell.
Def.
Doku putting his hand up again as an interest point. It feels so uncomfy to look at anyone else from Man City because of what's happened with Reinders, right? Absolutely integral to the way that this team is playing. Constant starter. Benched in the last couple.
But he likes Cherky, doesn't he? That's the problem. Does. And now Phil Foden's shown a little bit of form, and all of a sudden it's like, oh, I've got options there.
Yeah.
I agree with you on Doku. I thought...
He was good today.
I've been a critic of him. Not just good. He was electric today. Mm. He was absolutely electric. Up against Connor, who did a reasonable job on him. But still, you know, coming up against Vinny Jr. and then Doku in the space of 4 days is a bit of a baptism of fire for the kid. But yeah, Doku, 11 touches in a box, 11 duels won, 7 take-ons, 3 chances created, 3 shots on target. Yeah, I've got my notes ready for off the bench tomorrow. Yeah, 3 shots, all three on target, and including that unbelievable goal. He just looks so, so good. I think if you went against Haaland captaincy this week, and I know that you made the case last week of never, ever doing that ever again, but if for whatever reason you did go against Haaland this week, you got lucky. You've got lucky, because if he scores that penalty and then gets the header as well, it's another haul that goes against you.
Even if he just gets that pen, he's probably still going to get the bonus points.
Yeah.
And then he's, you know, rather than being a 4-pointer, suddenly you're in double digits again. Yeah.
Totally. Yeah, totally. All right. The only thing that I will say in Liverpool's defence, and this is the only thing I'll say in our defence, is
hello.
That...
What's he going to say?
Well, I was, again, reading a stat ready for off the bench tomorrow with us. Haaland's goal was 0.08 XG. Gonzalez was 0.02 and Doku's was 0.03. So that's three really... unbelievably good goals.
Good goals, yeah.
Three unbelievable, and particularly the final two. Right? I know Gonzalez got a little nick off of Van Dijk. The Doku goal is like a worldie. But there's three goals there that all three of them combined were like 0.13 XG, right? Mm. So could you say Liverpool were a bit unlucky to concede three quite low XG goals? You could, but still... I mean, even for the, what is it? Which goal was it? Was it the Haaland? I think it was the opening goal. You notice in the build-up, go back and watch the goal, guys. And if you can, go to like 60 to 90 seconds before the Haaland goal goes in. What happens is City play unbelievably well to get out from the back. We have a corner and it's unbelievably well get out from the back. And because we've played from the corner, because Robbo's taken the corner over the far side, it means that he's not there. When they play out so well, Van Dijk has to come over into the left-back position. And immediately I went, that's not good. You don't want him out there. You want Virgil in the middle, obviously. But what we do is Robbo then fills in and fills in for Virgil. So you've got Konate, Robbo, and then Virgil. So Virgil and Robbo just switch, right?
Okay.
And they carry on like that. And I think, who has it on that side? I can't remember the winger. Maybe it's Silva. Maybe it's somebody else. But Virgil's kind of like playing as left-back against them. And then... it kind of goes back into sort of the middle third of the pitch. And you see Robbo and Van Dijk look at each other and they go, they kind of nod. They go, yep, good. Because I'm looking for it. I'm like, well, I don't like that. So can you fix it? And they look at each other and they go, yep, let's fix it. So you see them switch. And Van Dijk goes back into that central position. City work it back out to that side. And Robbo's just not there. He's just not there. He's not sprinting out to get there. He's jogging out. So, of course, by the time he's jogged out there, the lad who's got the assist for this goal, was it?
It's probably
Matthias Nunes, maybe, or Bernardo. One of the assists, I don't know. Somebody will tell me. But whoever provided the cross for the Haaland goal has got all the time in the world, and I'm screaming it. I'm just like, Robbo, get out there. You've just said, let's switch, and he's not got out there quick enough. He's got all the time in the world to cross it. And when you got Haaland in there, You know what the end result's going to be. So that, I don't know why I've even told you the point of that waffle. I just noticed it when I was watching the game. But it all came about because City played out from the back, from a Liverpool corner, brilliantly. It was brilliant play. And they just done us. They completely done us.
I think the trouble with City, though, is you have Haaland, yes, absolutely. And today they've got another clean sheet. And you know, they're sort of here and there, the clean sheets. Isn't not terrible. Yep. But I find it really difficult to know where to invest otherwise, because what we're seeing is a changing quite semi-regularly, and particularly as people are now coming back from injury, we're seeing this movement around. And Pepper's now got a really nice squad that Absolutely. He can rotate around the different competitions that they're playing in. So investment outside of Haaland still feels really hard.
Okay. All right, let's move it on. That was a bit ranty from me, sorry. Let's talk about Brentford 3 then, Newcastle 1. George will be very happy with this one. Thiago at the double. Tell me about Newcastle first, though, because I think a few of us might be now potentially looking at moving some of these guys on. I certainly moved Gordon on this week, for which I have no regrets, because I did it for Saka.
And he didn't play.
You've got Pope, and we need to kind of understand what the injury looks like. So,
and Voldemort, I got both.
Well, just about to say, that's the one I'm more interested in, because Pope is Pope, right? But Voldemort, lots of options there, and a reasonably expensive striker. Mm. What's your thoughts on him?
See, weirdly, he actually feels like one of the least of my worries, because he got something this week. He gets an assist, he gets five. So
okay.
I'm sort of looking at him going, I would really like to get rid of you. I really would. But I don't like... I mean, the fixture up next is awful. It's awful. It's City. It's horrendous. After
so
the
Newcastle got City at home, though. At home.
Yep.
Then away at Everton, Spurs at home, Burnley at home. I mean, that's three not bad home games in the next four for Newcastle. I mean, they are much better at home than they are away.
They are, but I wasn't impressed with them today. Like, we did a bit of flicking around because all the games were on. So we
It's weird in the UK, so, isn't it? There's like four games on at all the same time. It's very strange.
It reminded me a little bit of COVID times. Do you remember when we used to have them all on?
Yeah.
It's really odd. We did a lot of flicking about. And so we watched in 10 minutes of this one. And then when something was happening, the Slack was very helpful for this today, because somebody would say, oh, this is happening. We go, right, change game. We'd go over and watch that one for a little bit. And then we'd flick back around. So we didn't watch this one in its entirety. But whenever we were watching this game, it wasn't Newcastle that were impressing me. It was Brentford.
Mm.
It was the Brentford attack that was impressing
me. They're very good at
home. And they are very good at home. And we said that going into this.
It's all right, but they're good at home.
They are especially good at home. Thiago especially is good at home.
Three of the next four away, though, is the challenge.
Which is the challenge.
Including Arsenal.
Including Arsenal. And so, you know, Thiago looks like a great pick, but the away fixtures are off-putting. And the thing is that today, when you look at the forwards, like, João Pedro, genuinely, as ridiculous as this sounds, feels like the best buy for next week.
We'll get to him. We'll get to him.
We'll come back to him. Because I look at the forwards across the other teams, and nobody's really put their hand up this week and gone, yep, here I am.
What
and
do you mean?
Here's the
Callum
fixtures.
Wilson?
No, shut up, Callum
Robbie,
Wilson.
Richarlison, Fleming. I mean, there's loads of FPL picks this week that have put their hands up now. This season, honestly. It's mad, isn't it? It's mad.
I mean, Richarlison, did you know, I read a stat that
said... He's taking his shirt off, Richarlison. What a knobhead.
So, I read a stat that said that every time Richarlison has taken his shirt off, Spurs have not gone on to win the game. Every
That's
time.
Such a great stat.
Every time.
I've got to write that one down off the bench.
I was like, put your shirt... I'm surprised that Frank hasn't said, if you take your shirt off again... That's
fantastic.
It. You're banned. Because genuinely, what a prat. Put your shirt on, you pigeon, and stop messing about. It's the 91st minute. I know you're excited. I know you've just come on and scored. That's all wonderful. But keep your bloody shirt on.
Do you know when I know when a Spurs player is really not very good? Is when you're going in on them. You, like, your love for Spurs is, like, mad. Like, I could really dig it. Like, Ange, I give him so much abuse last season. You just stood by him week after week after week. But Richarlison, no, you're just in. You're just like, no, he's crap. He's... Keep your shirt on, you Muppet pigeon.
Do you know what? He's not the one I get in most on, though. It's Wilson Odobert who gets the most of my wrath.
Yeah.
When I sit in the south stand, he is the one. And I sit there and I rant at my mum. And then the other night at the Champions League, he was actually quite good. And my mum was like, he's quite good tonight. And I was like, no, I'm not having it. But going back to my actual point was that Voldemort gets an assist this week. The fixtures aren't great, but there's a lot of home games and they are better at home. And then I look at the rest of the forwards. none of the ones that you've just listed I have any interest in.
No, of course
not. None of them did. Like, but then even across the good teams, like Arsenal, you can't go there because, well, I'm already trebled up elsewhere. And even if I could...
Havertz, Gyökeres, Moreno.
And I think I read...
Moreno's a midfielder.
I think I read that Gabby Jesus is also back in training.
Yeah,
so there's all this going on at Arsenal, so can't go there. Sesko at Manchester United goes off injured. They have to play for 10 men. We'll get to that later. Anyway, we're not going there. No, but you're just going through the other forwards in the other teams. Like, genuinely, Liverpool, I don't want to go there. Like, it's very hard, right, with the other forwards. So there's two options. One, stick with Voltimada.
Mm.
Maybe it's not terrible. Maybe he's the least of my problems.
Okay.
Or come down in price. But I don't
know.
Which
is what I've done.
Which is what you've done.
Yeah.
But, and I don't need the spot. But I just think I might just leave him alone. Because to be honestly, I got other issues.
I think as Webby's saying, it's you know, at that price point, it's Thiago or JP really. That's the one to go for. And FPL Cowboy is suggesting DCL.
No.
FPL Cowboy, that is... That's
you go and ask Az about DCL and then come back to me.
So Newcastle, yeah, bit of an avoid, I think.
I'm going to have to work out what's up with Pope as well now, because that's my bigger issue.
Yeah.
I think not want to be playing Dubravka every week.
And I do remember, was it last season or the season before? I can't remember, but I do remember Ramsdale coming in and them going on a terrible run, because the way that Pope plays, he's all right with the ball at his feet. He's a good communicator, I think, back there, and he's very calm. Ramsdale's not really any of those things, is he? Mm. He's not really the keeper to... He's not a Pope, is he? No. Anywhere near.
Well, he ended up playing Dubravka, didn't he, for most of it? Because it didn't go well, do you remember?
That's true. I remember. It was Ramsdale in, wasn't it? And then it was just like, oh, yeah, this guy's so bad, I need to play my third-choice keeper. Yeah.
So, like, and I don't want to be... As much as I'm seeing some improvements... We're not seeing across some of the teams. We're not seeing him against for Dubravka.
All right. Shout out for Brentford, though. Very good,
very
right?
Good, Brentford, very good.
And Thiago, bang on the radar. And as Connor is saying in the chat, Thiago looks lethal on pens. Great form, full of confidence. Let me just have a look at the fixtures, because I've mentioned earlier in the pod, you know, well, maybe I didn't go there because of the fixtures. Well,
it's Brighton, the away stuff.
Brighton away is difficult next, no doubt about it. Burnley at home in 13 looks really good. Arsenal away, Spurs away. I have to say, I've earmarked, and this might change, right? Because who knows this season, anything can happen. But I have earmarked the free hit for game week 13.
That's when I was
potentially when I'm going to play it. And if I do, for sure he's in there. For sure. I mean, I can't see me picking three other strikers ahead of him. Obviously, Haaland will be in there against Leeds. But Thiago at home to Burnley looks pretty good. Mm. Looks pretty good. Anyone else in that Brentford side that's sort of catching your eye?
I always like Sharda. I always think Sharda looks good. Every time I watch him, I like him. But I think, honestly, it feels like you go Thiago or you don't go Brentford.
Feels like the one.
On a free hit, I might, in 13, which is when I think I might play it as well, I might go for both of them too against Burnley.
Yeah, I've been a bit of an admirer, and I was at the back end of last season with young Coyote at the back. I like him.
Yeah, you do like
George,
him.
I don't know if you agree, George, but I like him a lot. Whenever
today,
I watch him,
though.
Yeah, sure, he's a defender. Defenders get booked. Every time I watch him, I'm just like, huh, yeah. I know that he's got the throw-ins as well, which is a massive plus for him, right, and for Brentford. I mean, the carnage he can cause from a throw-in is unbelievable. But, you know, just his overall style of play is kind of no-nonsense. Doesn't make too many mistakes either for a kid of that sort of age. So, yeah, I like him. I like Coyote. Good player. Yeah, good player. I noticed, actually, Sepp van der Berg is in second overall this game week for XG underachievers. Top is Semenyo, of course, with the penalty miss. But then it's Sepp van der Berg with a delta of -0.77. So he must have had a chance. Van der Berg. I've not seen the highlights of this game, but I'm guessing Sepp van der Berg must have had a chance in there somewhere.
That must have been a bit when we weren't watching it.
I would have thought so. But yeah, Thiago, definitely the one on radar, isn't it, from a Brentford perspective. Let's not go there. Let's go back to my window. What else can we discuss, Sam? Is it, like you said, there's a few of the games here where we kind of jumped around a little bit, didn't we? We didn't kind of watch one or the other of these opening four games today, so maybe
should we talk about João Pedro and Chelsea, given that we're talking about forwards and
Yeah,
Thiago?
Go on then. Yeah, we'll go back to sort of Saturday night and have a look at that one. So yeah, Chelsea 3 Wolves 0, which for the first half at least I thought Wolves did I thought they were tight, I thought they were compact, I thought they were sort of frustrating Chelsea a little bit, and it was kind of difficult to see where to all the possession, they had plenty of chances, Chelsea, but it was just like, is it going to be one of those days for Chelsea? But as soon as the first goal goes in, and I don't know where the marking's going. I mean, for Gusto to be left like that in the mid, like literally in the middle of the goal, I don't know what the XG was on his goal, but it must have been high. Then it's like, yeah, worryingly for Wolves, their heads go, don't they? Their heads go. And actually, 3-0 kind of, I don't know, kind of went easy on them in a bit. Chelsea could have scored 4 or 5 in that last half an hour. I thought particularly when Neto went into the 9, actually. When that happened and he put him in there, I thought he looked really good. Mark Guiu, who actually was first on my bench, so I did need him this week. He come in for me, for Gehi. And I tell you what, he was fourth for XG underachievers in that game with a delta of -5.8. There was one very big miss, and there was another one where he slid it past the post. On another day, I'll tell you, I've got the jammiest double-digit haul off my bench you could ever believe.
Because actually, when we were watching that game, we didn't know that you would need your first bench player because obviously we didn't know about Gehi. And you said, oh God, I nearly had a load of points on my bench then. And I was like, yes, you did. And actually, in the end, I wished it had gone in now because then you'd have had a really nice bit of luck out of him when Gehi didn't show up.
Yeah, totally. And I have to give a shout out to Enzo Fernandez owners as well because the highlights that I've seen... I thought he completely run the show. Enzo Fernandez looks absolutely at home now in that Chelsea shirt. And I know it's Wolves. I know it's only Wolves. I understand it. But he was unbelievable. Sky gave him manager of the month, gave him man of the match. Superb performance, but only a 3-pointer. Only you don't get any FPL points for doing all the good stuff. You've got to get the goals and the assists. So if you're an Enzo Fernandez owner, I think you're bang unlucky. Do you think the returns are coming for him, though? Because the stats are there. The stats are there for Enzo. I feel like in the next couple of weeks somewhere there's a haul for him and we're all going to go, yeah, I saw that coming and when, you know, the likes of me and you are not going to be on him. Do you know what I mean?
I don't know. See, I mean, I looked at him when I got Caicedo and in the end decided I didn't like the numbers enough more. Oh God, that was terrible English. I didn't like the numbers that he was posting significantly more than I liked the numbers for Caicedo for the additional budget that I would have to spend. I do like him. I do think he's really good. I do agree with you. I think there's probably a haul coming.
Got to look at that knee though, and he's ruled himself out of Argentina duty because he wants to rest his knee
again. Yeah,
there's a few of them at Chelsea that are doing that, you know. Caicedo hobbling around, and then he was asked after the game Maresca about him and he said no, he's fine. I don't know. They've already got quite a few players out, haven't they, with injuries and, you know, with the Club World Cup over the summer, no rest, except, you know, are these niggles going to come back to bite them at some stage? Maybe. You've got Caicedo. Happy?
Yeah, I should have, as part of my transfers, I mean, despite the fact that I wanted to get rid of Reinders, and so that's why I did it that way, I should have done the Pope down to Sanchez thing. Because obviously that would have bought me then a clean sheet. But I just felt like I didn't really want Sanchez for more than this week and next week.
Okay.
And even next week, I sort of do feel like weirdly Burnley might score though. Like yeah, because Burnley do weirdly score goals. Like they're terrible, but they are scoring goals.
Is it Turf Moor, I suppose? Yeah.
And it is at home. Whereas Wolves are just absolutely dreadful. So I thought there might be a clean sheet this week, and there was. And
Chelsea's next few, by the way, there are some away games there. So Burnley, as you say, which. I'd back them, but keep a clean sheet? Yeah. Then it's Arsenal at home, huge game.
Yeah.
Leeds away, Bournemouth away. I mean...
I don't see clean sheets in many.
It's difficult, isn't it? It's difficult. Then Everton at home, Newcastle away.
So how many of them do you think there's a clean sheet in? Which is why, in the end, I didn't move the Pope one. Now, as it happens, I'm probably still going to have to move Pope, and I have no idea where I'll go with if he is out, because I can't go Raya.
You can't go Raya, can you? You've got the free.
So I don't know where I'll go.
You've got Gay now as well, haven't you? About you, so you're not going to probably go Henderson either.
I don't know what I'm going to do. Yeah, okay. I'm just going to have to just sit and rock in the corner and try and work out what on earth to do.
Any love for Garnacho in this game? That's now 4 goals or assists in his last 4 games in all competitions for Chelsea. So,
is that a serious question?
Well, there's a little bit of form there. You know, again, look, we're in game week 12.
Is that where we are?
Sam, we're in game week 12. I'm at 1.6, you're at 4 million.
Are we actually...
Something needs to change, and it might be Garnacho. That's all I'm saying. We Garnacho
deep. If we're Garnacho deep, we might as well just set the season on fire now and be done with it.
Talk to me about João Pedro then. Go on, if you don't want to talk about Garnacho.
Is it... like I said to you on Friday, and actually maybe even in this week's O'Connor, I can't remember if I said it in that record or not, that I was pondering on getting João Pedro back again.
Many did.
I just was like, I watched him play against Spurs, suddenly decided he remembered to play how he was playing football, and then he was good against Spurs, had a really high XG, and it all looked great. And then going into this week and next week, I thought, well, you don't really get too much better defences to play against than Wolves in their current state.
Totally.
And Burnley next week. And if he's going to play like he did against Spurs, and it was if he's going to play like he did against Spurs, then he probably is the best pick to have. And actually, for those of us that sold him, we were lucky he only got what he did, because there were a couple of opportunities in this game where he could easily have got more. And it is frustrating. But it goes back to, I think, what we were just saying about Sanchez. Now, it's slightly different in that, obviously, there is more attacking potential in a lot of those fixtures that you've just mentioned. The game against Burnley, Bryan are in there. Like, these are defences that aren't keeping clean sheets, right?
Correct.
Exception of Arsenal. So these are defences that he can score against. And so that's why I'm more willing to invest in the attacking players from Chelsea than I am the defensive ones.
Yeah, yeah.
I just don't know if I can trust
mentally
him.
You go back there. Yeah, I get it. I get it.
I don't know if I trust him to not just slip off back down into I've forgotten how to shoot
no
again.
No shot territory. Yeah, yeah. Wolves, less said about them, the better, but still a team to target.
Target them until they get a manager.
Absolutely still the team to target. Loads of games still to go, Sam. Let's talk about Spurs 2, Manchester United 2. I don't know what to make of Spurs at home. I mean, what is that now? I think I saw on Match of the Day, the stat was something like... I've written it down.
It's a 2025 stat, so let's not...
I get it.
Let's not put all this on Frank, because I do feel like people are... No, I know you're not, but I do feel like there's a lot of narrative. There go your word again.
Won three of your last 20 Premier League home games since the start of 2025.
But we were being led by Ange Postecoglou, who did not really care about the Premier League for a lot of that. So whilst I am... All of that's true. I think we should judge it from Frank starting. And it is not as bad from Frank starting.
Okay.
So
is it?
We are still pretty poor at home. This is not an excuse.
This is the thing. I think the narrative, I think if I'm going to create one, which I will, is...
Of course you will.
Is it like... That stadium is intimidating. It's an amazing stadium to run out in front of 65, 70,000 people every Saturday.
Yeah.
Unbelievable stadium. Say what you want about Daniel Levy, but what he's left you there on his way out is something incredible. World-class stadium.
I agree.
For some of the younger players in that side, is it too much of a burden? Is it too much for them to come out to the razzmatazz? The dun-dun, 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 dun-dun. You know what it's like at Spurs when you go there? The bloody music at the beginning. It's just like big, and it's like, put the pressure, come on, Spurs. And it's just like, for like a Tell or an Erdebert, it's too much.
See, I don't think it is. Because because it's different. Because they come out to bigger razzmatazz for the Champions League games. And they're not losing.
Well, yeah, but you're playing Carabag and people like that. It's different. No. This is the Premier League. It's very different.
Lee, we were playing Man United. They're as bad as Carabag. Carabag have actually been quite good this season, to be fair.
What?
No, but Carabag have actually been good. They held Chelsea, didn't they? I don't think so, no. I think it's more to do with the
fact
that...
Just
the
narrative that I created.
I don't think it's to do with what happens at the start of the game.
Right.
I think it's to do with what happens when they piss about with the ball. So what happens?
Some tactical analysis from Sam. When they piss about with the ball.
So what happens is, we start the game, the whole ground is on board, right? We're all with them. We see their names. We're excited.
Music's going. Dun, dun,
no, the music's finished. Dun, dun. The game's on. The music's finished. That's done. We're in the game, right? We're singing around. It's all great. And then somebody will do something stupid. Every game, somebody does something stupid. And then what happens for about 3 or 4 minutes afterwards is the whole team go, ugh! And they all pit start. They'll just start messing around, particularly if it happens at the back.
And Kingdom FC says, Dr. Sam diagnosis spot on again. Here we go.
Right? So then what happens is the fans then go, oh God. And then we all get a bit angsty and a bit nervous because we think they're going to go Spursy, so we all go huh, and then the whole you feel the whole atmosphere kind of go, oh God, why have they started doing this? And unless they then get out of it, then we all relax and then we go back to singing again. If they concede in that moment, which is what's been happening, the fans get on them. And Vicario commented on it. He did an interview.
It's the pressure, isn't it? It's
he did
pressure.
Well, Vicario did an interview with Spurs where he said it's not hugely helpful when you get on our backs. And it's not that's hugely
why,
helpful.
That's my narrative, 70,000
no,
people.
No, you said it's
on...
the music. It's not the music.
It's the likes of you it's sitting us. There having a go at Erdeburg. Poor old Erdeburg. He's only 19 or whatever. He's coming out of the music. It's going off. All this, you and your mum up there going, you're rubbish all the time. Poor little kid. Right. He can't take it. No wonder you're losing
Hashtag
narrative.
Okay, hang on. First up, my poor mother's not telling anyone that they're rubbish. She's delightful.
She would, I tell you what, Debbie Barnes wouldn't say anything bad against you. Could be relegated to the League Two and she'd still be like, well, they're trying their best.
She will back them. And so on Tuesday night, the team, we're sitting there eating our fish and chips with a donut. I'm so happy on Tuesday night before the game started. I'm sat there with my mum. We were having a lovely chat. And then a team sheet came out and I see Odebert. And she goes, I'll bet you're happy about that. And I was like, oh, right. I'm going to be really positive to him tonight. Every time he gets the ball, I'm going to basically do what I used to do to
he's
team.
A teenager. Get behind him.
I said to him, we'll do what we did to Timo Werner. Like, we'll really clap him. We'll really encourage him. We'll shout his name. Hopefully he'll be all right.
Hopefully he'll be all right.
And he was actually all right on Tuesday night. Yeah. And then so we didn't actually watch this game because we actually went out. So we arrive, we're having lunch with our friends. And I was so desperately trying to forget about what was happening at Spurs and not be really antisocial because we're out with our like besties and the kids and we're having lunch and my phone pings and I look at it and it's a flipping Man United goal. And I was like, and I could feel the like mist of like anger descending.
It affects you. I've said it in recent weeks this season. It affects you.
So I'm like,
and not, I don't mean you,
just generally.
All of us.
So it started to descend. And then thankfully we were sat down. And so my bestie's opposite me and she asked me something about our holiday. So I was like, right, park that. I turned the notifications off because I was like, I can't have this. I can't.
All the United fans in the Slack.
I can't.
Going, ping, ping,
it's
ping.
Not them. It's not what they're saying. It's I can't keep my head in this while that's happening. So I need to not. I think forget that's happening. Anyway,
George just goes rude.
Sorry, George. I know it is a bit rude. So I mute the Slack. I put my phone in my bag and I turn my watch off so that SofaScore can't ping me. So we then get to the theatre. As we arrive in the theatre, I'm buying Evie a bookmark. Who knows why she wanted a bookmark, but sure. She does. So I'm buying this and my phone obviously has reconnected with my watch at this point and it goes ping. And I was like, I felt like a SofaScore pin. So I look at my watch and it's just a massive Spurs cock call. Yes! Went a bit mad. Then we go up to our seats in the theatre.
Has this story got an end or is it?
Yeah.
Go on.
Because it's quite, it's a narratively. Then I go up to our seats in the theatre and I sit down and there's no signal in there, right?
Yeah.
So this is like the 90th minute.
Which is a nightmare for you.
Right?
No signal.
So I'm like, okay, should be finished by now. So I just, one quick check of the full time score, make sure it finished 1-1 before I put my phone away and watch the show. Get my phone out, 2-2. I'm like, turned to you, didn't I? Because you were sat behind me. And I was like, I finished 2-2. And you were like, all right. And then I look at it and then I'm raging because how have we conceded a goal in the 96th minute? Having just gone up with Richarlison taking his shirt off, it's his fault because he's taken his shirt off.
The Muppet Pigeon.
Muppet Pigeon has taken his shirt off and then we've lost again.
Could we have some FPL analysis? Is this
so
too
all
much
of
to
it,
for? Or?
What do you want?
I don't know. Just...
So all of this means that I...
That's what the people are here for.
Okay. So, Richarlison, Kona Mwani's apparently now fractured his jaw. So, if you have
Has
got...
He?
Yes.
Where's that come from?
I don't know. Some Man United thug probably punched him or something. I don't know, actually.
I will not have any anti-Man United narrative on here, Sam.
I don't know.
I will not have it.
I actually don't know what happened to him because it wasn't in the highlights. Kona Mwani fracturing his jaw was not in the highlights on Match of the Day.
Funny that, Sam. Funny that on Match of the Day, they didn't show a Man United guy elbowing him in the face. Yeah,
I don't know what happened to him. It probably was nothing. He probably hit himself or something. Who knows? But anyway, he's fractured his jaw. The point of all of this is that if he's fractured his jaw, the pigeon is going to be back starting again.
Well,
so we got, he's back in it again. I'm not saying you should get him because I don't think you should, but he will start. Kudus was missing and it's such a miss when Kudus isn't there. I do think that with, I'm hoping that he's going to be back after the international break, because if when he's not there, we aren't as good. So we do have
people
to be
mindful. People are saying in the chat, they're saying, Man United thugs, look, five bookings for Spurs, one for United. Look, you go, yeah, Man United thugs, you've got five bookings here. Look.
To be fair, I did also caveat it with, I don't know what happened to him. He might have punched himself. I don't know what happened. I didn't even see it. It wasn't in any of the highlights. It wasn't in any of the highlights that Spurs put out either.
Well, just can you just calm down? Because I, for one, hate anti-Man United narrative on here.
Are you all right?
I'd never do it. Them and Chelsea.
That tells George to go and wind Aaron up. You're feeding the lines. You're going, go on, George. You're like the devil on George's shoulder. Going, go and wind the United fans up, George.
Come on, FPL analysis. Who are we getting for Spurs? And who are we getting for Manchester United?
I don't know if you will get anyone for Spurs, to be quite honest.
Okay, good. You spoke about Spurs for 10 minutes. And the conclusion of all of that, guys, is the chips and the pies are good, but don't get him in FPL.
Well, Mickey van der Ven is our top scorer.
Yeah.
So if you want to go for somebody who might score a goal, go for Mickey. But we won't keep many clean sheets. It's Arsenal up next, so realistically, I don't think you want to go anyone.
Excellent. All right, let's move on.
Manchester United.
And Bremo looks good, doesn't he?
Yes. But he is good. He was good at Brentford.
Totally. Yeah, totally.
He's really good.
As us Bruno Fernandes owners will tell you, he just finds a way to get points, doesn't he?
Who, Bruno?
He just finds it.
Are you going to keep him then?
Well, yeah. It's just like, he just finds a way to get
even
points.
Even though you could save money by having Mbombo instead.
I don't think you save that much money now, going to Bruno Fernandes to Mbombo. Somebody tell me the price difference, but I'll be amazed if it's more than 0.3.
What?
I'll be amazed.
No,
if it's more
not.
Than 0.3. Go on, look him up.
I'm checking.
Look him up.
Checking right now.
But no, I won't be selling Bruno Fernandes, because again, he just pops up with an assist at
0.5.
0.5, okay.
That's quite low.
Is it though?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's the difference between...
Yeah, okay.
Well, I couldn't think of an example.
Nikolai in the chat saying Bremo had one shot in the game. Yeah, true enough. But listen, he's being very clinical when he's getting the chances. So, listen, for me, he's definitely one that's on my radar. Let's have a look at the Manchester United fixtures. So, yeah, they are third, right? So, Everton at home next. Palace away in 12, which is difficult. Palace away in 13, sorry, which is difficult. Again, but if you are going to play the free hit, like potentially we are, then you haven't got to worry about that.
Yeah.
West Ham at home, then Wolves, brilliant fixture. Bournemouth at home. I mean, Everton at home, West Ham at home, Bournemouth at home, and then the two away games are Wolves and Crystal Palace, and you can avoid the Crystal Palace one by free hitting. I'm not thinking about selling Bruno Fernandes in that little run, no.
No,
Who would you get right now?
Mbombo.
You've got neither. You'd get Mbombo. Mm. I think if you asked me the same question, I probably would respond the same way. Mm. But I also don't think I would go Bruno to Mbombo if I've got Bruno, despite the saving. Just don't think it's worth the transfer. Any love for Cunha up top now that Sesko... we've got to find out what's happened to Sesko, but it does look like it's a knee injury, which unlucky for the kid, right? So... does Cunha now play in that position? And because of that, maybe, and this is one bit of pro-Bruno narrative, and maybe I'm clutching at straws here, but the United fans will tell me much better about their own team than I will. But if he's going to play, so Sesko's not going to play, if he's going to push Cunha up there, does that mean that maybe Bruno gets a slightly more advanced position and someone like Mainu, who's now fit and available, comes in to play alongside Casemiro?
He didn't play Mainu before.
No, he didn't. He had a problem with Mainu, didn't he? But I just wonder whether that is a narrative. I tell you what, though, one thing I did see, again, another... Look at me and all the stats
today. Are you all right today? I feel like you've turned into, like...
Got the stats. Listen to this one. You'll hear this. So for those of you that do listen to the Off The Bench podcast...
I wouldn't bother now, guys. You've just heard all of these stats here.
I'm on it with Az tomorrow. You're going to hear all these stats tomorrow on Off The Bench. Where do you think...
If
the Premier League was based on just first halves of football, the first 45 minutes of football, where do you think Manchester United would be?
I don't know. Top?
Correct. Top. If the Premier League was based off just second halves of football, where would Manchester United be?
Bottom?
18th.
So only Abby guesses.
So what does that say? That says to me, squad depth is a problem, and it says Casemiro going off is a big problem for them. Because that's what the stats say. If you look at the stats, when Casemiro goes off, that's a problem for them. So they've got to wrap him in cotton wool. If he ever gets injured, that's a problem for Manchester
United. But that's also fine because they don't play any other football.
Well, true.
They're not playing twice a week. They're playing once a week. So it shouldn't.
Should be fine.
Why take him off?
Should be fine.
Just play him 90 minutes every week.
All right, Sam. We are at 1 hour 4 and we've barely scratched the surface of these games. We've got to rattle through the rest.
No, we haven't. We've done most of them.
Have we? We done Sunderland, Arsenal?
Well, we talked a little bit about Sunderland, but we haven't really, no.
Go on then.
The defence is what it is. I won't change my investment from an Arsenal perspective just on this one result because they've
and
been
defence. And remind me, you are Gabriel, Timber, Saka.
Yes. Yeah. So Gabriel and Timber getting 1 point each. Okay, it is what it is. Like, there was going to be a week at some point where they weren't going to keep a clean sheet and we were all going to go, oh my God, what's happened? Arsenal haven't kept a clean sheet. But that doesn't mean we should suddenly panic and sell them all. If you've got Arsenal defenders, just hold them. It is what
it is. Of course.
The Saka Rice thing this week, I think, is the big talking point because there was a whole trainload of people going, I can save 3 million or near enough by going from Saka to Rice. And that saving goes a long way to affording whoever else it is that you wanted. And I understood it. I absolutely understood it. I understood the narrative because it's not just that you're saying, okay, I've got Saka and Goodmanson and in the end, instead I can have Rice and Munoz. You know, you're strengthening your team by downgrading your Arsenal player and it doesn't really feel like a downgrade because Rice has been on set pieces and he's performing really well.
Yeah.
However, the thing that put me off doing it is that Saka is that player for Arsenal, isn't he? Like, every team has that player. For City, it's Haaland. For Spurs this season, it's been Kudus. That player that's, like, integral.
Hasn't really been Saka for this season yet, though. I mean, this is the first game where you'd sit there and you go, actually, yeah.
I agree.
Top performance.
But I also feel like he is that player, even when he's... Because there's always... He's the one that always feels like he's... A bit talismanic, yes, but also that he always feels like the one that, if they need something, might just drive it. He might find it.
Like, I felt like the haul was coming though, right? One of the reasons I bought him in this week, and I did, I had that exact dilemma. I was just like, right, Jokeres is out, so I'm going to transfer him out. I've got an Arsenal slot there. I've got to use it because I think you've got to have three Arsenal. I've got Raya and Gabriel already. And yeah, it's like, okay, well, I'll get rid of Gordon then and I'll have either Saka or Rice. I had that straight choice. And I think in my defence, I was probably 70-30 Saka for most of the week. And I think but Rice for sure was in the thinking, right? He flipped somewhere between 30-40% in my thinking.
Yeah,
right?
Okay.
But I was always leaning Saka. And one of the reasons I was leaning Saka was mainly his performance last week. Like, you captained him last week. You're bang unlucky. You're bang unlucky.
But I'm still raging about it.
Two big chances. He could have had assists as well. And I'm like, yeah, on another day, you know, my whole kind of, is it Saka, is it Rice dilemma? If he scores those two last week, it's easy, isn't it? You're just bringing in Saka. So I think, for those that haven't got him or didn't get him this week, I think if you look back at the stats and look back at some of the chances that he's had, it was coming, this one. It was coming. And of course, I think he gets the defensive contributions as well in this game as well, right? Which is not, I don't think that's for the first time this season.
No, he also got him a couple of weeks back.
So it's like, wow, here's a player that's not only doing his bit for the team and getting goals and is on pens while Jokeres is not there. Maybe he's on pens when Jokeres is there. Who knows? But he's also getting defensive contributions and he's taking set pieces and stuff. I think he's worth it. I know he's 10 point something million, but I think he's worth it. And I do think he's worth the extra money over Rice. Many will disagree with that. And I think a lot depends on what you're going to do with the extra money. But for me, I do think he's worth it.
I agree.
Easy to say this week. Could be different next week. But this week, that's an easy thing
to
say.
Look, Lee, even after last week's nonsense, and as you all know, I was properly raging last week and it took me probably until like Friday to calm down. Like, genuinely, I raged the whole week about it. And I still think that Saka is the best pick
Spurs
of the Arsenal
next.
Attackers.
Do you fancy a Saka captain next week?
Do you have to ask these stupid questions?
I'm just saying, it's an option.
What did I say to you last week?
What did I say to you?
I've
tried to basically blank out everything that we said last
week. Last
week,
I told you that I'm not ever going to captain anyone other than Haaland.
Oh, yeah, okay,
unless
sure.
Haaland is injured. So don't ask me if I'm going to captain Saka against my own team. You prat. Of course I'm not.
I feel like the bringing up the Saka captain trauma. From
why
last
have you done
week.
It? Why did you bring it up?
I didn't mean
You've
to.
You've done it deliberately.
Let's talk about...
is what you do with the Manchester United fans in the Slack. This is what you feed to George, isn't it?
Let's talk about Sunderland then. Go on, Sunderland.
What do you want to talk about Sunderland?
Well, I just think Ballard, probably one of the best display, all-round displays I've seen from Ballard of a defender ever. Absolutely incredible.
It's had a couple of weeks of that. He did it a few weeks ago.
And then I find out on Match of the Day or somewhere that his ex-Arsenal academy...
Chucked out, wasn't he?
Went on loan to all different places. They didn't fancy him after a while, so they binned him. He's just turned up and pulled out like what I would call...
He's gone...
10 out of 10 performance against them. I mean, the goal was so well taken.
Yeah,
wasn't it?
So good.
And even the Brobby goal right at the end, it's just like, well, he makes it because he's just being a pain in the arse from a set piece. Does like this weird overhead flick bicycle thing, and then Brobby just gets on the end of it. I thought Ballard, aside from all of that, there's also one, I think, at 2-2, and there's a chance for... I don't know who it is, somebody for Arsenal, in like even after it's 2-2, in the dying embers of the game. And he's the one that's in there blocking it, throwing his body on the line, Ballard. I thought it was an unbelievably good performance from the kid. Unbelievably good. From an FPL perspective, though, I still couldn't really tell you where to go. I mean, yes, you can still have Mukiele if you want. You can have Alderete and those guys. They're still pretty good value for a team that are up there in the...
But!
What? What?
Fixtures aren't great now.
Oh, okay. Well, I've not had a look at that. Let me see. Sunderland fixtures. You are right. Away at Fulham, home to Bournemouth, Liverpool and City away, Newcastle at home, Brighton away.
I know that they have just drawn 2-2 with Arsenal. And yeah. I know that that was a really good performance. We should also remember that they've lost to Burnley this season. So.
And they beat Chelsea, though. I mean, it's
and they've beat Chelsea. You know. So they're quite...
unpredictable, let's say.
Like the whole league. They're like reflective the of the whole of league. Yeah. But I look at those fixtures and I think defensively, you can have one if you want because they're cheap and you can sit them on your bench. You have a Ballard on your bench or an Alderete or a Michelin or whatever you want on your bench. But in reality, you're not really going to buy a Sunderland player. Not unless you need to find the money for something else.
Okay. All right, let's move on. Where else do you want to go? A couple of more games to do.
What?
We've done Everton. Everton, Fulham at the Hilly Dick. Go on.
Do you have anything to say
about this game?
Well, you've got Tarkowski, who you must have been seething about because I know he gets your points, but how has he not got you a hatful?
It is mad, wasn't it? Because, again, not a game that was available to watch here in the UK. I don't think it was on TV.
No, it was a 3 o'clock.
So, yeah, listen, he got 5 points this week. Gets the clean sheet. No DEFCON, which is a bit of a shame. But gets the yellow card for arguing towards the end of the first half. So I'm thinking, I saw the score pop up because, again, we're trying to be sociable with our friends and not think about FPL. So I didn't. And I just saw the score. I was just like, 5 points. I take it. Then we come home. We watch Match of the Day in the evening. He's like... He's had one ruled out for sort of a
Nats
whisker offside. He's hit the bar after that, didn't he? It's just like, no, I think just one ruled out for offside and then one off the bar, I think. So, yeah, on another day, Tarko could have got me an absolute haul. But it's his mate Keane, right? And I can't... Like, again, I'll ask you the same question I asked a minute ago with the kind of, like, if you had to pick one. I think if you had to pick a Tarko or a Keane right now, I think you'd probably have Keane, wouldn't you?
Well, the price difference is big.
Well, it's not only that, but like I've noticed when the corners come in from Dewsbury Hall or whoever's taken them, right? And he got an assist this week, didn't he?
He chose everyone as well, yeah.
And he had one ruled out for offside as well. He could have hauled. When the corners come in from... It's Keane they look for. Yeah. It's not necessarily Tarko every time. It's Keane they look for.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, if you were going to have an Everton defender now, I would suggest going for Keane. But,
what are their fixtures like?
I can tell you. Hold on. There's a fixture ticker. Here it is.
Because I don't have any Everton, and I'm not sure...
Trip to Old Trafford next, which is far from easy. Newcastle at home, Brentford away, Forest at home, and then Chelsea-Arsenal. So it's difficult, isn't it?
There's not a lot of clean sheets in there.
Yeah. Ask me if I'm going to sell Tarkowski then.
Couldn't speak for a second. Are you going to sell Tarkowski? Oh, my God.
You've got my problem that I had at the beginning. Go on.
Are you going to sell Tarkowski then?
I might do. I haven't decided.
I thought you were going to launch into some sort of like... Yeah, I'm...
No. I've got the money in the bank because the moves that I made this week, and I'll talk about them in a minute, meant that I've got 2.4 million in the bank. One of those million I was going to spend doing Tarko to Virgil. That was going to be a move. But not sure I want to do that now with Liverpool. So he might get a little stay of execution. He'll probably sit on my bench next week away at Old Trafford, right? I'll probably get a bench him. But with those fixtures at 5.5, I can't see me keeping him. I can't. But I'm not really sure where to go to. If you had him die, though, would you keep him? No returns this week? Not super expensive. I think you can probably hold him.
He probably could be held. I don't know. This sounds a horrible thing to say, given that they've just won 2-0, but I just don't find them very exciting.
Okay. All right, let's move on from Everton, the not very exciting Everton. Then I can buy into that narrative. West Ham 3, Burnley 2. Crazy game, right?
Bonkers game.
Crazy game. And absolutely, if you are a Jared Bowen owner, how can consider yourself very unlucky that Kyle Walker-Peters nicks that one off of him. I mean, if I had Bowen in FPL, I would have been raging.
Yeah, but Kyle Walker-Peters wants it.
Raging. Well, clearly, Bowen thinks he's got a tap-in for like 0.99 XG, and Kyle Walker-Peters just toes in. Did you see Kyle Walker-Peters on Instagram, though, apologise to the Bowen owners in FPL?
Did he?
So you can only imagine the Bowen FPL community has gone after Kyle Walker-Peters on Twitter. You can only imagine that's happened.
Did he really? That is brilliant, by the way.
Yeah, there we go. Look, as 86, I had Bowen. I'm absolutely livid. I would be. If I owned Bowen, I'd been fuming. He was, by the way, in the top 10 for forwards this week, Bowen, I was going to say he's in the top 10 for forwards for BPS this week with 9 BPS. Being in the top 10 forwards, by the way, is nothing special.
Hang on. He's in the top 10 because he got 9?
Yeah, it's nothing special, is it?
That's ridiculous, by the way.
Yeah.
9 in the top 10?
Well, there's probably not that many more forwards playing this week. But anyway, yeah, you're bang unlucky if you've got Gordon.
Not Gordon. You're bang unlucky if you've got Bowen.
Yeah, him as well. It's getting late. I started off bad.
What's going on?
Just end it bad. Anything else to say about this game? I think there's Souček popping up with a goal and assist. We've seen the helicopter celebration a couple of times recently.
No.
Any love?
No. Don't. Are you serious?
Just giving opinions and ideas,
Sam. Are you seriously asking about Souček as an FPL asset?
All right, then Callum Wilson, he got a goal?
Absolutely not.
Absolutely not.
No, you're not investing in either of these two teams. Why are we talking about them?
Oh, all right.
If West Ham can continuously put some performances together, then we'll have a conversation.
Okay.
But right now, they've just managed to managed to beat Burnley.
Sorry, Hammers fans. So you're going to have to forgive us on that one. Palace, we've talked about. It's just Gaye not being there, isn't he? Any problems for Mateta and Sarr owners?
Just hold,
I think. Yeah, still a good team, aren't they? Brighton are a good team. Forest Leeds I've not seen, but I think Gibbs-White scored.
Anderson scored.
Yeah, penalty.
Scored a pen, yeah.
Pen. Defcons, probably.
Gibbs-White had gone off, I think.
Know. All right, so eyes on them, but maybe you can get them going. I think they're still in the relegation zone, though, so got to see a bit more from them, I think.
But they are improving under Dyche. They are improving.
All right, there we go. That's the games. That's enough. That's more than enough games, isn't it? More than enough.
Well, it is because you can't talk anymore.
Well, I couldn't at the beginning, so we've got to get on with our teams, haven't we? This is me for the week 38. Yeah, listen, it's like,
I had to put double subs on yours.
Yeah, it's just a bit. I went into it thinking my team still looks a bit crap. I was obviously, the moves I made, I got Jokeres and Gordon out for Giyu and Saka. And part of the reason for not getting Thiago, because I did have the money, I could have had Saka. Imagine getting in Saka and Thiago this week. It would have been incredible. But I didn't get Thiago, got Giyu instead. Mainly because I wanted some money to deal with Reinders for next week. That's what I was thinking.
Okay.
Because I now look at my team and it's a bit like lopsided. I've got Giyu, I've got King, I've got Reinders. I mean, listen, I'm happy with Saka, Semenyo, Fernandez, Haaland, Mateta. I'm happy with them. But I've got Reinders, I've got King, I've got Giyu, I've got a few there that are not guaranteed starters and I don't like it. So I've got to do something about Reinders. I'm feeling pretty okay with my defence as well, like Gabriel, Gaye, even Senesi, I think I'm pretty okay with. Tarko's the one I've got a bit of a question mark over. Goodmanson's there and he's just there, isn't he? So it's fine, he's a 4.0.
He's just there.
So it's that midfield I'm worried about, is that Reinders and King, with probably Reinders being the one that's probably got to make way. But I've got 2.4 million in the bank and one free transfer over the break to potentially deal with him. No, because I spent two this week. We're getting Giyu and getting Saka.
Oh.
So that's probably the weakest part of my team that I've got to fix. So I'm kind of fingers crossed hoping for no injuries over the international break. because I really would like to do the Reinders move. But for the sake of the podcasters, here's my team. Raya with one in goal. Senesi, Tarkowski, Gehi and Gabriel at the back, with Tarko being the highest scoring there with five. Saka 12, Semenyo 0, of course, with the penalty miss. Bruno 5, Reinders in midfield. Haaland 8 as the captain. Mateta 2, Dubravka, Giyu coming on for the 1, King coming on for the 1. And Goodmanson with the 1 sitting on the bench. So, yeah, honestly, the only difference between a red and a green arrow for me this week is the fact that Gay didn't show up.
Yeah, I know.
If Gay shows up, I've got at least 5 more points. It's green. It's a fairly pathetic green, but it's green. And I would have taken it. But as it is, it's about 100k down. I've just discussed this really for next week, but just to run you through this, the team actually doesn't look too bad. I think Tarko probably will go to the bench. But again, this is my squad depth problem. Who comes in? I'm not probably going to put Gio in there. King against Sunderland at home. I don't mind it, but Sunderland are all right, you know. Leeds at home. Goodmanson at home to Villa, maybe.
They just put 4 past Bournemouth.
Maybe King or Goodmanson come in for Tarko. I don't know. But Reinders definitely the one that's on my mind.
The reason I played Van der Ven in the end last week is because Manchester United are really poor from shots conceded from set pieces.
Are they?
Which is why I played Van der Ven in the end.
Okay.
So you may be actually playing Tarko isn't terrible.
Yeah. Defending from set pieces or shots from set pieces?
From them.
All right. Maybe it's not too bad. But like I say, it's Keane they look for, not him. But listen, it's a bust team, but we've got an international break now to have to worry about, right? So no knee jerks for me. I will be sitting on my 1 free transfer and my 2.6 million and seeing how the international break goes. 37 for you this week, so just a point behind me. What do you want to talk about this week?
Like you, a really small, really, really small red. And like you, it's because Gay doesn't show up. And I was so frustrated that I knew that Crystal Palace was my issue, so I fixed it and he doesn't show up. Pope actually, despite my rantings about him, picks up 3, so that's not terrible because he gets the extra point there, and goes off before the second one, so keeps that. Gabriel and Timber we've talked about, Van der Ven I played, Senesi comes off the bench to actually be my highest scoring defender this week, so you know, thanks
nice.
For that.
Two.
Saka with 12, Caicedo with the 2, Semenyo obviously missed the pen like he did for everyone else. Haaland with 4, Voltimard with 5, and then Mateta with the 2. The bench, just to conclude it for everybody, Dubravka with 2, Kudus didn't show up, Senesi with 2, and then King, but he's come on for Gehi, and then King with 1. It was frustrating for sure.
Cheers, Mark Gehi, for not showing up, basically.
The Palace thing is really difficult to stomach because I knew it was my biggest issue and I tried to fix it and I thought I'd fixed it well, only to then find that Gay, he is MIA and...
Okay.
Yeah, it's a shame.
So 37 this week. Here's your bus team for next week after the international break. What are your initial thoughts?
Well, this is why it took so long for me to do the graphics today. You were like, what are you doing, woman? Why is it taking you so long? I had to set up a whole new template to play 4-3-3 because we didn't have one of them set up.
All right.
So I'm currently playing 4-3-3.
With your 2 Spurs players on the bench against Arsenal in the derby.
Well, Kudus is injured.
Oh, dear me. Talk about lack of faith. Look at this. I'm going to go back to my narrative.
Do you know what somebody said to me last week when I was ranting on some platform or another, Instagram, I think.
Yeah.
Somebody said to me, just hedge your bets, Sam. Play what? Your Arsenal because then FPL might go well. But it wasn't Spurs-Arsenal, but imagine it was. I think it was Spurs-Chelsea. They said, hedge your bets, play your Chelsea players because then if Chelsea win, you get FPL points. But if Spurs win, you're just happy.
You sort of have got to make a decision though because you've got Gabriel, Timber, Saka, Kudus and Van der Ven all in the same game.
I've made a decision. Week. I've popped into...
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. And you've gone against Spurs, which is incredible to me.
So I've got to keep eyes on Nick Pope. I don't want him this week really anyway. But then
you're
Dubravka.
Playing Dubravka, aren't you? Over Pope, surely.
I mean, Christ, Dubravka's got Chelsea as well, though. So it's not like...
No, Dubravka's got West Ham away. According to your graphic.
No, he hasn't. He plays for West Ham. I've just not really not put it right. He's got Chelsea at home.
Okay, fine.
So I don't fancy him either.
Can I have a look at my Dubravka, whether he's got the right fixture? Yeah, my Dubravka's got the right fixture.
It's probably because you were telling me to hurry up. I just didn't have time to make sure I finished it all off. Anyway, so I don't really want to play Dubravka over Pope because I just... But then I don't really want to play either of my goalkeepers, so I'm just going to accept that they're both going to concede. And if Pope's injured, I'll swap him out.
So Dubravka doesn't play for West Ham. He plays for Burnley.
He plays for Burnley, yeah. He must have played West Ham the last time I did this.
Top
I don't know.
FPO insight.
Dubravka. He's doing something. He plays in purple. Well, yeah, it's purple.
Carrot.
It's purple. According to Evie, it's purple.
Fine.
I've lost all track of thought. Gabriel and Timber, I'm playing because you know you have to. Gahey, for God's sake, turn up against Wolves.
It'd be fine.
If he's not, I might actually go. I might go down to Selhurst Park and have a word with him, or wherever it is that they train. Senesi against West Ham feels good. Semenyo, despite the penalty miss, also feels good against West Ham. Burnley,
it does.
Caicedo playing Burnley, yeah, that's fine. Saka against Spurs, yeah, fine. He's got a really good record against us. And then the front three, actually, like, Mateta's great against Wolves, yes. Haaland and Voltimada playing each other's not ideal. Haaland obviously is not going anywhere. Voltimada, but I look at it and I'm like, you're kind of the least of my issues here, really.
What's the biggest issue then?
Depends on what's actually up with Kudus, doesn't it? Because Kudus, Frank said he thought he'd be all right for the Champions League. Then he's not in the squad. Then he says, touch and go for the weekend. And then he's not in the squad again. And I'm like...
Yeah, difficult one.
So we obviously the international break's coming at a good time. So I just need to keep an eye on that.
Yeah.
And then make a decision as to what I'm going to do with him at that point. But I do feel like he is probably now my biggest problem regardless.
Right.
Because despite being good for Spurs in terms of the way that we play, he's been pretty poor in FPL for a while now. And the haul that he had in game week, whatever it was, has kind of mitigated against it looking quite as bad as it is.
Yeah.
And over the last couple of weeks prior to the injury, he was a bit unlucky. There was a couple ruled out for offside. He had one off the bar. There were opportunities where he maybe should have done better.
Right.
But from an FPL perspective, for the 6.5 million, he really hasn't been hitting the highs that he should be hitting.
Yeah.
The slight issue I have is that there hasn't really been a standout player that I fancied to replace him because I couldn't go for somebody like Declan Rice because I'm already trebled on Arsenal. I didn't want to go for Ismaïla Sarr against Brighton because I felt like I was already top heavy with having Gahey and Mateta and I didn't feel like I necessarily wanted to be trebled up for that game.
Okay.
Options
though, isn't there? Like Minter or something like that. I'm looking at Minter maybe for next week.
Well, my plan, Lee from FPL Family, was to go from Kudus to Gravenberch for game week 12.
Right.
That was the plan.
Okay.
But the plan...
I think I would have advised against that.
I think the plan's just got to go in the bin because you look awful. we don't look much better and Kudus is injured. So now I'm going to be thinking quite heavily over international break, but Kudus certainly feels like a bigger issue.
Chat saying Morgan Rogers.
Who's he got?
Leeds, I think, coming up next.
Do I trust him? I don't know.
Leeds away, followed by Wolves at home.
Oh, that does feel quite nice. I feel like I need to just sit over the international break and think quite carefully about that Kudus slot. That feels like the bigger priority for me because there's not a lot of other forwards that I fancy instead of Voltimada right now. Unless I go back to João Pedro for a week. But I think I'm going to get to the end of next week and then go, or the end of game week 12 and go, oh, I've got to get rid of João Pedro again now. I've only got one free transfer now because I've used them all up and somebody might get injured over the international break. So I'm going to take it very easily, but Kudus's spot, unless Pope is injured, Kudus' spot feels like the one that I need to fix.
All right. Well, Chatterbox is in the chat. I hope this is wrong, but he's saying that apparently Glasner said that Gahey couldn't walk and has been on crutches for a couple of days. So I think we're going to need a wild card.
Are you joking?
I just really want Chatterbox has put. If it was some troll, I wouldn't have read it, but Chatterbox is here most weeks. That's all I'm saying.
Where the hell was that news in the press conference?
Who knows? I don't know, Sam. I don't know, but I'm trusting. I've done it again, but I don't know. I don't want to go to that. That one, there we go. I'm trusting Chatterbox. He's here, you know, he's here most weeks, old Chatterbox. So I'm not, you don't have to look up the news right now. We're live on YouTube, Sam. I don't know if you noticed.
He's withdrawn from the England squad.
Well, there we go. Yeah, exactly. Sam, tell everybody what is coming up this week, because as usual, put your phone down. Don't worry about Gahey news. You've got 2 weeks to worry about Gahey.
Oh, I'm raging.
You're trying to find a picture of Gahey on crutches. Chatterbox, what have you done? What have you done here?
Klassen said his skipper is unable to walk.
Yeah, it's from a Twitter account called Palace Report, apparently.
Okay, he's got a knock on his foot and the bone is bruised. He can't walk at the moment. In the last few days, he was on crutches. That's why he couldn't play as I expect. I don't know how this develops in the next couple of days, but he can't play for England.
Sounds like he's got a bruise on his foot. Get over it.
Man up!
2 weeks.
Mark, man up! Yes. You've got 2 weeks. Get back out on the pitch.
Thanks for throwing Sam into complete FPL turmoil there, Chatterbox. Tell everybody what's going on this week, Sam.
You read it to me. I wouldn't have known. What's going on this week? Well, Lee's going to...
Sam is back. So we go. Here we go.
Phoebe, you're right.
Get back on the pitch, Mark. It's just a bruise. Okay, Doctor. Thanks, Doctor.
I've been a bit funny today. Talking about... next week. What did you ask me next week?
Yeah, same thing I ask you every live stream. What's going on?
Well, you say the same thing at the start of every show, and that didn't go well either.
True.
You're doing off the bench with our good friend Az. Thank God, yes. Az moved for captaincy at the last minute, by the way.
Who was he going to captain?
Mateta.
And who did he?
Haaland.
Oh, well, not that big a deal, is it? Well, but yeah, sure.
That would have been a worse red arrow, wouldn't it? Yeah. So Az and Lee are doing off the bench this week.
With all the stats you've heard tonight... they'll be there tomorrow. Don't worry.
I mean, let's hope that Az brings something new to the table then, because otherwise it's just going to be a repeat of this live
stream.
I've
got more. Look, I've got more written down here in a note. Look, there's lots of stats.
Oh, actually, you have done quite a lot of work.
Yeah, I do prepare for these things. You know, I do prepare.
Oh, blimey. I look forward to giving that a listen then. So Lee will be doing that this week. I will be back with Jules and Kelly this week. Jules, who sold Saka this week.
He sold Saka this week. Not for Rice. Mm.
He's also got Gahey as well.
That's going to be a difficult one.
So that could be fun, because I think actually Kelly's had a good week, because she doesn't have Gahey, she has Richards.
That's the difference, isn't it? It's the Palace clean sheet. That was the difference.
It is indeed. But it is an international break, so we will not be here this time next week.
No.
We will, however, still put out an Ohana podcast for our patrons in the middle of, well, for everybody that signed up to the Patreon platform, even at the free tier, you will receive that. For our Slack patrons, you know what's coming. It will be an Ask Us Anything podcast this week.
I feel like we've only just done one of them. We do another one.
No, we didn't do one in the last international break, did we?
Yeah, we did, didn't we?
Oh, I don't know.
Almost certain we did.
Well, it's time for another one, Lee.
Fine. You're the boss.
It will actually be the last one for a while, because the next international break after this one is not until March.
Thank God.
So this will be the last Ask Us Anything podcast of this calendar year.
What are we going to do next season when there's like, aren't they going to condense all the international breaks into like just one big
international
break?
There's going to be two, I think, isn't there? But one of them's going to be 3 weeks long.
Okay. Not so many Ask Us Anythings then.
Well, unless we did one every week of the international break. Well, I mean, God, they'll know everything about us, including what size shoes you wear.
Wow.
Anyway, I will post when I get off this live stream and get over the fact that Mark Gahey's got a bruise, and try and find his phone number and ring him up and say, get over yourself, Mark, and get back on the pitch. I will post an Ask Us Anything thread in the Slack. So if you have something you want to know, does not have to be FPL, can be if you want to, but it can be anything you want to know about us.
All right.
Posted in the Slack.
Very good. All right, well, there's the that's the pod, that's the video for this week, guys. Well done in game week 11.
If you did well.
Bit thin on the ground for points. Yeah. If you got over 40, well done, quite frankly.
Not often you get two missed pens in your team.
Yeah, been a difficult week. But we've got to lick our wounds over the international break. No knee-jerk transfers, I would suggest. Hold on, because there'll be loads of Mark Gahey kind of, I've got a bruise on my foot kind of injuries going on. There'll be lots to have to listen to in press conferences. But thanks for joining us tonight. Leave us a like and subscribe if you're new around here. All that good stuff. And we'll see you in a couple of weeks when we'll be looking back at game week 12. All right, cheers, guys.
Bye, guys.